As he wakes up less rested than the night before. "I had a dream my teeth fell out again," he said. "This time they fell out one by one, first slowly, then faster. Sometimes they all fall out at once, sometimes they fall one row at a time. I try to stuff them back into my mouth. What is it supposed to mean? I don't understand. I just don't understand these dreams. What does it mean when you dream that your teeth fall out, when you dream it regularly? I think it means I'm afraid of commitment." "No," I said, "it means you're pregnant." That didn't go over well with him, and he walked to the washroom, brushed his teeth, made sure to floss, like he would four more times that day. "I had a dream the other night. My dreams are different from other people's dreams. Other people's dreams aren't realistic, but mine always are. They stay with you longer that way. They make you think that they really happened. Well, recently I had a dream that someone wanted to hurt me. They wanted to hurt me, and they followed me and appeared in the same town as me. And one day I was standing on a street corner, and they were just standing there, talking to someone else on the other side of the street. So I panicked, and I turned around and started running. Ran down the block, dropped what was in my hands off at my house, and I kept running. I don't know how far I ran or where I was running to. All I can remember is what I was running from." Slide, almost stepping on a boulder in a children's marble game. As I walked past the swing set, I heard two girls talking, slap bracelets, plastic purses, bows in their hair. The blue-eyed blonde said to the brown-eyed brunette, "If you dream that you die, you will." Those brown eyes exploded with fear. As I walked away, I stopped and leaned against the jungle gym. The memories bombarded me. Why did I have that dream? Why did I stop myself? Why didn't I die? It was 4 years ago. I was walking in a field where the brown weeds stood a foot tall, almost entirely covering the wretched, abandoned train tracks. The pollution gray sky occasionally hurled its anger at the ground, making rippling waves in the dead grass and straw. I never asked why I was there. Holding my denim jacket closed with one hand, I put my left hand in the coat pocket. I felt the cold steel in my hands and pulled the .22 caliber pistol out into the light. The polished silver-gray barrel reflected my fingerprints. I never asked why it was there. I stopped walking, switched off the safety, turned the gun toward my stomach, wrapped my finger around the trigger, pressed my eyes shut, and fired twice. But I opened my eyes and stared at the waving weeds as I felt the heat and the force radiate through me. As I stood there, I began to hunch over, and all of my senses slowed down. The weeds moved slowly, and as I started to walk, my steps became shorter, yet longer to take. Feeling dizzy, I couldn't even think, but I knew it should hurt, and I waited for the pain, but I just wasn't dying fast enough. So I tried to keep walking, but it felt like I was falling, and I turned the revolver to my stomach again and fired. I felt the jolt. I felt the force. I felt the heat. But it just wasn't working. I just wasn't dying. So I moved the gun to the side of my head. One shot rang out. My ears were ringing, slowly but violently. Why wasn't I dying? I shot at the temple again, and once more. Walking slowly, now used to the heat and only feeling tired. Then a voice in my head told me to stop the dream, and I woke up. Beads of sweat dripped down from my temple. I tasted them to make sure it wasn't blood. I pushed myself away from the jungle gym as I watched the girls on the swing set. The brunette stared at the blonde in innocent amazement. Well, I just turned around and walked away, kicking the dead grass. They were trying to kill me again. Why am I always running away from them? They had guns, they had pistols, machine guns, as they always do, and I only had my feet to keep me away and save me. I could feel the bullets riddling my body. Who are they? Why do I always have to run away? Even in my own dreams, who am I running from? I was walking into your living room, and there was a 10-gallon fish tank there. You just bought it. You were looking at the fish, that's when I walked over. And I saw a shark fish in the tank, one about 8 inches long. And he was at the bottom, killing and eating a 4-inch fish. There were other 1-inch fish swimming at the top, neon tetras, small things. And I walked over, and the shark was just eating this 4-inch fish, and soon that fish was just completely gone. And you were just looking. There was nothing you could do to save the fish. And then another 4-inch fish came out of hiding from behind a plant on the left side of the tank, and he darted around. It looked like he was in a state of panic. Maybe he breathed the blood of the other 4-inch fish, his ally, his family. And he started darting around the tank, and the shark just was sitting there at the bottom of that tank, and that other 4-inch fish darted around more. And then the shark opened his mouth, and in a darting panic, the 4-inch fish swam straight into the shark's mouth. All he had to do was close his mouth and swallow that fish whole. There was no fight, like with the first one. There was no struggle. And I looked over at you, and you were just amazed that the shark just ate your 2 fish, which were probably over $10 each, and that they just didn't get along in the tank together. And I looked at the tank, and I saw the 1-inch neon tetras darting around along the top of the water. They knew they'd be victims later, trapped in this little cage, and that they would just wait for that shark until he was bored, until he administered his punishment. And I wanted to ask you why you bought all these different sized fish and expected them to live together peacefully. Maybe you didn't realize that the shark would need more food than you were prepared to buy him. Besides, a shark that size shouldn't even be alone in a tank as small as 10 gallons. He needs room to grow. But before I could say anything, I saw the shark swim to the top of the water, push his head and nose out of the water, open the lid to the top of the aquarium. You weren't looking, so I told you to look at the top, but not to get too close. And the shark just sat there, looking at you, and it looked as if he wanted to show you what a good eater he was. It was almost as if he was looking to you for approval. Once I had a dream that I went for a hiking walk through the suburban-like streets to go to a forest preserve with Tom. It's strange, I never spent time with Tom, but we were meeting up to go for a walk together. Well, anyway, he came by and he even brought a burrito for me to eat because he thought I'd be hungry. I thought that was really nice of him, and we started walking down the street, you know, to go to his forest preserve, and I opened up the wrapped burrito and took a bite. And I don't remember the taste in my mouth, but I know there was chicken in this burrito, and I thought he knew I was a vegetarian, so I got really angry, and I said, "Hey, wait, there's meat in this. Didn't you know I was a vegetarian? You had to know." And I just got so angry. And maybe he didn't know and he was just trying to be nice, but he was a meat eater and I wasn't. Maybe in my dream we were together and we really didn't know each other at all. She said, "Do you know that feeling you get when you're starting to fall asleep and then you suddenly feel like you're falling very quickly and then you instantly wake yourself up? Everyone has that feeling sometimes when they sleep. Did you know that your body does that on purpose? You see, it happens when you're feeling very tired and your body starts to fall asleep into a sleep state at too fast of a speed. Your heart rate, your breathing shouldn't slow down at that fast of a speed, so your body makes you feel like you fall, so that you'll wake up, feel a little tense, and then fall asleep more slowly." He said, No, that's not what I'm talking about. I know that feeling, but what I'm talking about is being in a dream and going to the edge of a cliff and jumping." She said, "Well, what happens? Do you land?" He said, "Sometimes I wake before I land. Sometimes I land gently and live." "You've never had a dream like that before?" She said, "No." He said, "Why do I have dreams like this? Why this cliff? Why do I fall? How do I land?" Right around Thanksgiving, I dreamt about murder. In the dream, we were in a hotel on a body of water. At one point, I went to go for a jog along the water, but they had it roped off right by the water. I don't even know who they would be, but the area along the water was roped off, maybe until full daylight. Maybe then lifeguards would be there to protect the people. But I couldn't jog along the water, so I sat down at the bottom of the stairs at the water's edge. And the thing is, I don't even like to jog. Oh, so anyway, I knew that in the dream I had killed someone in their hotel room. I don't remember anything about the murder, but the thing is, I was wearing fake nails during the murder because I thought I lost one of them at the scene of the crime. So I was in the hotel bathroom then removing all of my fake nails because they might implicate me in the murder. So as I was removing these fake nails, I was dropping them all over the floor because I was ripping them off so frantically. So when I got them all off, I had the glue left on my real fingernails, and then I was trying to pick off all of the fake nails off the bathroom floor, and then I had to figure out how to get rid of all of these nails. I could just flush them all down the toilet, but then one of the nails might not go down the toilet, and then I'd leave a huge piece of evidence in my own hotel room linking me to the murder. Then I thought that I shouldn't flush any of them in the hotel, but go to public restrooms around town to try to get rid of them. And then I started to worry that if the nail I left at the scene of the crime actually took some of my own nail with it, and then I would have left my own DNA evidence at the scene of the crime. And then I started to wonder if I actually lost a nail at the scene of the murder, or if I was just scared and overreacting. And then I wondered if anyone had even found the dead body yet, all this time laying there in their hotel room. And then the phone rang, and I woke up. I had a dream the other night. I was walking down the street in the city, and a man came up to me. A skinny man. He lost his hair. And he walked right up to me, and he told me that no one cares anymore. And he took my hand and asked me to care about him.
"I'm not supposed to be like this," he said. "I'm not homeless, you know. I have AIDS."
And I wanted to tell him that someone did care, that he didn't have to die alone. But you know how sometimes you can't do things in your dream no matter how hard you try? Well, my mouth was open. Wide open. But no words were coming out. And you know, I'm afraid to go to sleep tonight. I'm afraid I'll be walking down that street in the city. I'm afraid that a pregnant woman will come up to me and ask me for a hanger. And I'll tell her there has to be another way, and she'll say, this is the way she chooses. I'm afraid I'll be walking down that street in the city, and a woman will come up to me and tell me that she doesn't want to live because she's just been raped and her world doesn't make sense anymore. And I'll tell her that she can make it, that 1 in 3 women are raped in their lifetime, and they all make it. And besides, the world doesn't make sense to anyone. And she'll say, that doesn't make her feel any better. And I'm afraid that I won't be able to walk down that street in that city again without it looking like a Quentin Tarantino movie where everyone is pointing guns at each other. Yes, Mr. NRA, you are so right. I feel so much safer knowing that everyone out there has a gun, and that there are more gun dealers than gas stations, and that everyone is so willing to do the killing. Why do my dreams have to be so much like real life?